image to the beast, which had a wound by the sword and they live. So an image in these last days is to be erected, just like an image was erected in Daniel chapter 3. Now, a death decree was put upon whether or not they bow to that image. Notice verse 16. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark in the right hand and the foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark of the name or the number of his name. We see that the same thing will be played out right before us. Now, I want to read a couple of quotations here. The first one is from Review and Herald, March 8, 1898. Satan has taken the world captive. He has introduced an idol Sabbath, apparently given to it great importance. He has stolen the homage of the Christian world away from the Sabbath of the Lord for this idol Sabbath. The world bows to a tradition, a man-made commandment. As Nebuchadnezzar set up his golden image on the plain of Dura and so exalted himself, so Satan exalts himself in this false Sabbath. Nebuchadnezzar was exalting self by setting up that image in his kingdom. Satan exalts himself by setting up a false day of worship and calling that day the Sabbath over God's seventh-day Sabbath, for which he has stolen the livery of heaven. You know, I'm just going to be honest with you right now. When I put these notes together, I put the print so small because I was trying to fit everything on one page that I'm struggling to read my own notes right now. But hey, lesson learned, amen? If you're trying to save paper, you know, you ain't getting into that. Next one's from 11MR, 354.2. If I could even read it, praise God. As Nebuchadnezzar set up the image in the plains of Dura and commanded all to bow before it, so this false Sabbath has been exalted before the world, and men are commanded to keep it holy. But it has not the vestige of sanctity. Nowhere in God's word are we commanded to reverence the first day of the week. Now, I just want to make one final point before we close. You know, I thought we were going to have more time to get into this, but it took a little longer going through that. But consider this just setting the foundation for where we're going, amen? But there's a lot in this chapter. But let me just simply end on this note. This is from Selected Messages, Book 2, page 80, paragraph 4. Now, first and foremost, we're told that the people are encouraged to set up this image, right? How is that image set up, and what is that image? What is that image? What is the image of Revelation 13? Exactly. But what is an image? What is an image, first and foremost? An image is a copy of the original. Now, if they're making an image to the first beast, then what is that image going to replicate? Is going to replicate the first beast. Are you following me? You see, the image of the beast is not the mark of the beast. We often look at the image of the beast as the mark of the beast. Now, it's very closely linked to the mark of the beast, don't get me wrong. Now, what is the image of the beast? To form an image, the image has to be a direct copy of the original. That image of the beast is formed in America when Protestant churches in America look so much like the first beast or like the papacy that there's no difference between it. You could look at the image and the original and they look the same. Are we at that point? That image is almost fully developed. Put it this way, the picture's already been taken. It's simply in the dark room developing. It's already developed. They just got to pull it out of the room. Yes, exactly. So the image of the beast is created by the Protestant churches in America looking so much like the mother church, as they refer to it as, or looking so much like the papacy that there's no distinguishing mark between so-called Protestants and this Roman Catholic power. Why is that? Well, it's interesting because Protestants claim to be protesting against it. But there is no more protest. We are the only Protestants left that are consistently standing firm against these things that other Protestants have claimed that they're standing against. However, we're told, that's why the people are told to set up this image, because they have to create that image, right? They have to replicate their churches after that first piece. Now watch this. Selected Messages, Book 2, page 80, paragraph 4. The Lord has shown me clearly that the image of the beast will be formed before probation closes. Don't miss that. The image of the beast will be formed before probation closes. For it is to be the great test for the people of God by which their eternal destiny will be decided. Don't miss that. The Lord has shown me clearly that the image of the beast will be formed before probation closes. For it is to be the great test for the people of God by which their eternal destiny will be decided. Because the final test comes down to this. When that image is formed, in order for that image to be a complete replica of that first beast, there has to be a law enacted with it. That's where the mark of the beast comes in. Because when that image of the beast is complete, they will have a law saying that you have to worship on Sunday. In order for them to have to fully create the image of the beast, they have to worship on the same day as the beast. That's why I say the image of the beast is not the mark of the beast, but is very closely linked to it. But she's saying here that the image of the beast must be set up before probation closes. Why? Because that Sunday law that comes along with the forming of that image will be the final test of God's people. Now, point of clarity. There are many ministries that teach that probation closes for Seventh-day Adventists at the passing of a Sunday law. But notice what she says. The Lord has clearly shown that the image of the beast will be formed before probation closes, for it is to be the great test for which the people of God by which their eternal destiny will be decided. How can probation close at the passing of a Sunday law if there has to be a testing period between the passing of the Sunday law and the final close of probation? Yeah. I have to pass that test before I receive the seal of God or the mark of the beast, right? Now notice this. Another statement of clarity, and I'm going to pull this up on my phone really quickly. This one's from Maranatha. Maranatha 164.4. Maranatha 164.4. This one clarifies it, and you can't get around this. This is the test that the people of God must have before they are sealed. Let me read it in context. I'm going to read the paragraph just before it. In Revelation 13, this subject is plainly presented. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. She quotes the whole thing. And he had two horns like a lamb. He spake like a dragon. He exercised the power of the first beast before him and caused all the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Then the miracle-working power is revealed and deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of the miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell in the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small, great, rich, poor, free, and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand or in the foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So now it's getting into the mark of the beast issue, right? This is the test that the people of God must have before they are sealed. And we receive that seal just before probation closes. So therefore, probation cannot close on Adventists at the passing of a Sunday law, or it will be no testing period. If my probation closed as soon as Sunday law passed, how is that a test for me? We all know God's true Sabbath. We're not going to go out and put a counterfeit over God's Sabbath, but give it 6 months down the road. You haven't ate. You haven't, well, you know, you would have to eat before those 6 months, but you understand what I'm saying. You haven't ate much. You have no way to provide for yourself. You cannot buy or sell except you receive the mark of the beast. Some time has gone on. You're low on supplies. You're wondering, how am I going to feed and provide for my family? Then there will be a temptation to sell out and receive the mark of the beast. But if there was no time period between the passing of the Sunday law and the close of probation, how would it be a test? You see, these ministries sound good when they present this stuff, but they don't study deep enough. And the point I'm making here is always study in more detail that you be not led astray by these erroneous theories. Amen? Now, let me make something clear. Do I have to be ready when the Sunday law passes? Absolutely. Because if that Sunday law passes and I'm not planted upon the rock, I'm going to sell out. So we do have to be ready by the time that Sunday law passes, but does probation close at the passing of a Sunday law? No. We enter into what is known by the Bible and spirit of prophecy as the little time of trouble. And I don't really like that term because it's going to be a lot greater than we call little, than the word little signifies. But compared to the great time of trouble that's coming after the close of probation, that little time of trouble will appear little in comparison to it. Are you following me? But it's a little longer than short. They either call it the short time of trouble or the little time of trouble. It's a little longer than short suggests, and it's going to be a lot greater than little suggests. Are you following me? But there's a little time of trouble, then there's a great time of trouble. Great time of trouble does not start until the close of probation. The little time of trouble is that time between the passing of Sunday law and the close of probation. Is it clear? But you see, you had those three Hebrew men who stood firm when that image was placed, and they were told that they had to bow down and worship. How do you think it was that they stood at that time? Did they make the decision right then? We are told if we will not receive the mark of the beast, we must determine today that no matter what come against me, I will not bow to the commandments of men over the commands of God. And that starts with how we stand now. If we're folding by every little decree that comes our way, how are we going to stand when a Sunday law is passed? I'll leave it at that for you to fill in the blanks. Amen? I'll leave it at that. But if it's your desire to stand when that image is created, I'm going to ask that you stand now, signifying that on that day, you will be standing by God's grace. Let us have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we know by our own power that we cannot stand. Father, we are weak, we are feeble. And Lord, we look, by human nature, we look for any excuse we can to bow down. Father, I'm sure it's not recorded in the word, but I'm sure the other Jews who were bowing, surrounding Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were looking up and saying, come on, just bow down this once. Come on, you're making us look bad. Just give in. But Father, if we got to look bad to stand for you, I'd rather myself look bad than to put that mar of character upon you. So Father, may we stand firm in these times, unmovable by your grace. Bless us and guide us. Give us victory to overcome every defect, every stain, every sin in our lives. We claim the victory of Christ. We claim the blood of Christ tonight. And we ask that when that day comes, Lord, that we must stand for that one and final time. Father, may we have a proven track record of standing now, and may we be able to stand by God's grace in that time. Bless us and guide us now, we ask. Protect us until we all meet again. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Went for a pretty exciting ride in the very near future, so let's be ready. But SAS will resume next Sabbath at 6 p.m., but our Daniel series will take a little pause, because this coming Friday, we are beginning, remember, our summer revival series, and you do not want to miss the first speaker that we have. He speaks Friday evening, beginning at 7 p.m., then Sabbath morning, Sabbath afternoon, and then SAS time. Brother Cesar Serna, he'll be with us. You do not want to miss them, trust me. Going to get up to a very powerful start, so please, please plan to be here. And Justin always says, bring a friend or an enemy, anybody that you can bring. It's going to be a powerful, he's a very powerful speaker, awesome speaker. And then we have Sunday, and then every day until the 25th. Throughout the week, we have Elder Michael Johnson, we have Yoni Sanchez, and some other speakers. So please, please, every day during the week, 7 p.m., and on Sabbath, we have the regular 11 o'clock service, then 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. for SCS. Yeah, Brother Rick. Yes, it's all going to be live stream. It's all going to be, so amen. If you're out of town, please join us wherever you're at in the world. By live stream, you could join in. But if possible, please come and let's have an awesome time in the Lord as we seek revival. Because like we said last time, based on the condition of the world, this might be one of the last few we have. It's a solemn thought when you think about it that way. We do not know how many more we'll be to have. And so we must take advantage of the time that we have and seek God as never before. So please come and support. We start again this coming Friday evening, 7 p.m., with Elder Cesar Serna. He'll be with us Friday and all day Sabbath. So we'll see you Friday, 7 p.m., or Wednesday night prayer meeting as well, 7 p.m. You're welcome to join us. And I believe that's it. So, blessed week, everyone. Be safe out there. We'll see you all next time. God bless.